Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Well, good morning. You all ready to hear some end time stuff, huh? Come on. We got Dr. Philip Richards here, and it is such an honor to get to introduce him to you. I've known Phil for almost 30 years. We met in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He saw me across the room, and he said, and God did, really dealt with his heart. He said, go connect yourself to that man and have him speak in your church. So I'd never met him before. He just walked up to me, and he said, you know, would you come speak in my church? I looked down and saw that badge on his little on his thing there, and it said Florida, where he lived. And I said, well, Florida, thank you, Jesus. I said, well, the truth of it was, he said, when can you come? I said, I am open from right now all the way through the millennium. I've got openings for the rest of my life. And it was at that church that I met Michelle. And so I've Phil to thank for Michelle, and she has Phil to curse for me, I guess. So, we have just had a marvelous life together, and we're so thankful to Phil Richards. And interestingly that God didn't just connect us for that season of our life and to get me and Michelle together, but now years later, almost 30 years later, he's a part of our Bible school. He teaches our Bible school. Phenomenal ministry. You're about to have 2 weeks of some. Now, here's what I want you to know. Just hold on to your seat real good. Now, how many of you are note takers? Put it away. Listen to it later and take notes, because you're going to start and you're going to go, never mind. Because he's going to start and it's going to go. Brrr. And when he's done, you're going to go, whoo. And you're going to learn some wonderful things as we set up for this 2 week teaching on the end times, because you asked for it. I want to pray as he comes. And when I finish praying, would you just give him a wonderful welcome here to Victory? Let's pray and then welcome Phil with us. Father, thank you for Dr. Phil. Thank you for his life and ministry and these many years that he served your people. Holy Spirit, I know that you want to speak into all of our lives today. And so we thank you for your grace that comes upon him today to minister to us. We receive what you have for us today, Lord. We open our hearts. We draw on that grace that you've placed among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give him a warm welcome this morning?
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. How many of you can agree it's better to be here than the best hospital in all the world? Well, I think we have a lot to give God praise for. Can you say amen? Amen. Want to thank you for allowing me to be with you today, and thank Pastor John and Michelle and all of the staff and all of the helps ministries that make this ministry possible. Good to see what God is doing. And we just want to get right into our Bible lesson tonight, because the Bible says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So this morning I'm going to begin speaking on this subject, and we'll continue. I want to encourage you, first of all, before I tell you the title, be sure and come back next week, because what you're going to hear today is part one, and part two will continue next week. But I'm speaking today and next week on staying focused on Christ in you, the hope of glory. Staying focused on Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have your Bibles and you want to mark this, I know you can follow me on the overhead, but you might also want to mark this in your Bibles today. We want to read for a text out of 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Three verses of scripture that will lay a foundation of revelation, particularly what God wants us to hear about this last hour, this last day. Notice very carefully, the Apostle John said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. Now, how many of you can agree there's a lot you don't know in life? Well, there's a lot I don't know. Are you still learning? If you're still learning, say amen. Well, there's a lot we don't know, but thank God there's some things we do know. And so the Apostle John said, we know. What do we know? What is it that the Holy Spirit wants us to know in this last hour? Here it is. We know that when he shall appear, everyone shout loud, when he shall appear. When he shall appear, what's going to happen? Well, John said, we're going to be like him, for we will see him as he is. And then he tells us that this changing, this metamorphosis, this changing in our life is going to take place when the Lord will appear, when he returns to take the church, the believers, back to heaven and to be with him. He says, this is a hope, a blessed hope. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So everybody's asking these questions today. What's happening in the world today? We look around us and we see and we know that evil seems to be multiplying exponentially. We know there's always been evil, yes. There's always been persecution of the righteous. We learn in history that that happened in the days of Egypt or the Assyrian Empire, how that in 721 they destroyed the northern kingdom Israel. We know that the Babylonian Empire destroyed the southern kingdom Judah in 586 BC. We know that Persia is raising its ugly head even today. Ancient Persia is modern Iran, by the way. And all of the Roman Empire and all the other empires in days gone by, they have persecuted the righteous. But all of us can understand that something is different about today. Indeed, there is something different about today. And Jesus, in that great discourse on end times that he gave, our Lord and Savior himself in Matthew, the 24th chapter, gave us a few hints to what we will be seeing in the last day. And he tells us in Matthew 24, he said, you're going to see these things. You're going to hear about and know about wars and rumors of wars. But the Lord said, see that you be not troubled. I want everyone to lift up your hand and say, I'm not afraid. In the name of Jesus. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things, now get this, must come to pass. Underline the word must in your Bible. There are some things that must happen, and they're in the control of the Father God. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that things in your life, there are many things you cannot control, and there are many things that you'll never be able to handle. In fact, you're not supposed to. It's supposed to be the grace of God in your life helping you with those everyday things. But there are some things that must happen in order for the will of God to take place, not only in the world, but in the body of Christ and in your life and even in your family and in your home. There are some things that must take place, that must happen. And so Jesus said these things must come to pass. Everybody say must come to pass. But he said the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation. We see that, don't we? And kingdom against kingdom. And he said there will be famines and there will be pestilences and there will be earthquakes in diverse places. I went out to dinner last night with Pastor John Spencer. And his daughter got on the iPhone. I like Siri. Sometimes if you talk to Siri, she'll answer you. Sometimes she'll give you a crazy answer, you know. But nonetheless, we ask, how many earthquakes have happened, in the last 24 hours? And it's astounding. If you go on Google and it talks about how many earthquakes, yes, there's always been earthquakes, but not by the thousands as we see it today. There's always been wars. There's always been rumors of wars. But it's not been all over the entire planet as we see it today. And so the church has entered into what Brother Hagin said back in 1989, by the way, Pastor John, you'll recall this, that the church has entered the time of sorrows. The church has entered the time of birth pain. And when it's time for a woman to be delivered of a child, there's no turning back the clock. When the birth pains begin, it's just going to continue to intensify until the birthing comes forth. And so it is, we are in these things today. And so biblical prophecies are being fulfilled right in front of our face. Everywhere we look, they're being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. We see national bankruptcies as never before. We see, yes, indeed, great food shortages and moral decline. And the volatility of the money markets is something that drives many people crazy in the natural. We see social gospel replacing the true gospel in many churches. And at the same time, we are seeing socialism growing like never before with the spread of Sharia law. We see, as I speak, Israel being surrounded by over 50 million people that want her destroyed and wiped off the face of the map. We see the world stage rapidly being set for the battle of Ezekiel 38, when the specific nations that are mentioned by the prophet Ezekiel thousands of years ago would line themselves up together in the last hour and last day to attack Israel. We see that stage being set like dominoes on the board, all the pieces of the puzzle being put in place. Everything's being put in place in spite of what the devil and his gang and demons and evil spirits are doing. The Lord is setting up things for our benefit. And so as a born-again believer, we may ask, well, then in the face of all of these things that we're seeing happening today, what am I to do? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got good news for you. It's right in our text today. We are to stay focused not on what the devil is doing, but you and I as believers, we are to stay focused on that hope that the Apostle John talked about in our text. That hope is a blessed hope. That's a hope that the Lord's not finished with us yet. Did you notice in our text that the Bible said through the Apostle John that when he shall appear, we will be like him? Well, I'm glad I'm born again, but I'm not quite, he's not finished with me yet. How many of you can agree he's not finished with you yet? How many of you looked yourself in the mirror today, you know, metaphorically, and looked yourself in the mirror or days gone by and you thought, well, you know, there's a lot of things I need help with. How many of you ever thought that, right? Well, say out loud, the Lord's not finished with me yet. Look at your neighbor and say, he's not finished with you yet. But the good news is, when Jesus comes back, everyone say out loud, when he shall appear. When he shall appear, here's what's going to happen. We that are born again are going to be like him. So let's talk about some key points that we see in these short three verses of Scripture. Five main key points. I want you to get these. Number one, all of us who are born again and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called sons of God. It has nothing to do with gender. It has nothing to do with culture or background or what you owe or own. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin or what part of the world you're from. All of us that are born again and we come to Christ, we become the sons of Almighty God. And we're not sons when we get to heaven. We're not children of God when we get to heaven. We're children of God now in this life. The next key point, number two, that we see in these three verses of Scripture is that because we are sons of God, the world doesn't know us. And so we ought not to be all concerned when the world persecutes us and those that are unbelievers do all manner of evil against us. The third point we need to remember is that God began a good work in us when you were born again, but he's not finished yet. Oh, I'm so glad he's not finished with me yet. And so that work that he's going to finish is going to happen when he shall appear. And I want you to understand that when the Lord comes back for the church, we call that the rapture. I'll be talking about that, what that means in just a moment. But it's a term that talks about us being caught up to be with the Lord. When that happens, there is a purpose for it. And we see in our text the main purpose for that is so that we can be changed, that we can be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the fourth point, or the fourth key that we need to see in these verses is that completed work of Christ is called the hope of glory. Put your hand right here on your belly, everybody, and say, I have a blessed hope on the inside of me. See, when you gave your heart to Jesus, he didn't just leave you alone. He deposited in you the seed of God that made you his children, and then that seed will produce eventually the desired result. And again, all throughout the Bible, we see that called our blessed hope. We have a blessed hope one day we're going to be like him. And so John says, look, all of us that have that hope living on the inside of us, that's what you've got to focus on. You've got to focus on Christ in you. Now get this, listen carefully, the hope of glory. What does that mean? One day we're going to be glorified. I want to say it again. Is there anybody glad that one day you're going to be glorified? Lift up your hands and praise him if you're glad about that. And so let's talk about the fact that when you're born again, you literally are a child of God. The Bible tells us this same Apostle John in John 1:10, talking about our Lord. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world didn't know him. He came to his own and his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, lift up your hand, say, I've received him. As many as received him. Now notice, to them gave he the power or as the Amplified says, the right and the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So everybody again, lay your hand right here and say, I am born of God. Okay, so we are born of God. Let's look at some other scriptures. Again, in the third chapter of John's gospel, when Jesus was teaching this truth to Nicodemus, he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said unto them in chapter 8, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then Paul said, because we are born again, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I tell you today, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be concerned about. What John is saying is this, what the Lord began in you when you were born again, he's going to finish. And when he appears, we're going to be changed completely to be just like him. Can you say amen? We have absolutely nothing to be afraid about. The Lord hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't thrown you away like a used newspaper. He hasn't wadded you up and thrown you away and said, well, you made a mistake. There's no hope for you. No, 1,000 times no. If you could change yourself, you would have already done it. If you could have been a better husband, you already would have done it. If you could have been a better wife, you already would have done it. If you could have been anything better, you already would have done it. Because men everywhere are frustrated when they see their inadequacies and foibles, and they look inside and they get frustrated because they can't do what they really would like to do. But I've got news for you. We weren't made to live in this death-doomed body forever. We weren't made to live in agony or pain or disease. God didn't create man to live a life of woe. God created man to live a life of victory. God created man to live a life of peace. God created man to live a life of joy. And praise God, when we gave our heart to Jesus, we became new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so right in this last hour before Jesus comes, there's coming a revelation of who you are in Christ in your life. And one day you'll finally just give up and quit and let God give your problems to God. And he'll take over and he'll begin to do in your life what you can't do in yourself. And then you'll see things happening for the good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because we are sons of God, the world's not going to know us. And so Paul said this, John said this, if the world hate you, in John's gospel, chapter 15, Jesus said, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but chosen. Now, I want you to look at this verse, chosen out of the world. Lift up your hand and say, I've been chosen out of the world. Now, when do you think that happened? I'll tell you exactly when it happened, from before the foundation of the world. I don't have time to preach on it. If I did, I'd be here all afternoon. I could go 4 hours straight on it if I had the time. But I will tell you this right now. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that he ordained you from before the foundation of the world to be like God. And that Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you is not going to give up, as I said, until he finishes the work that God put on the inside of you. Praise God. And we're not called to be part of this system. We're called to be better than this. We're called out of the world. And one day Jesus is going to come get us. It'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when all the world is perplexed and they don't know what to do. And men's hearts, as Jesus said, are failing them for fear because of all the things that are taking place upon the earth. Oh, you and I, in the middle of the night, it might be for you, it might be in the morning for somewhere else in the world, but you and I, one day we're going to hear the trumpet sound, and one day we're going to be out of here. It's going to happen so fast you won't have time to blink your eye. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And John and Paul said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So look at your neighbor and say, I'm comforted in the Lord today. Oh, I think you can do better. Now, how about this side? Say out loud, I'm comforted in the Lord today. Now, yeah, now you here in the middle, say out loud, I don't have any care. I don't have any worry. I give it all to the Lord. Now, this folks over here, say out loud, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lift up your hand, everybody, and praise the Lord that it's going to be all right. I want you to praise Him. I tell you, the Holy Ghost woke me up about several weeks ago, and He gave this message for you today. I tell you, by the Spirit of God, don't be afraid of what's happening in the world today. Lift up your head and rejoice. The Lord is coming back, and it's all going to be all right. Just trust Him and rest in faith, beloved. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The third thing I want to talk about this morning is that hope of glory. That hope of glory. Let's go into a little bit more detail. I want you to understand, believers, today, that blessed hope that you have living on the inside of you is a mystery. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. Paul described it as part of the mystery of the gospel. So I'm going to slow down just a moment, and I'm going to go into more detail and show you some scripture more than one time. I mean, if the Holy Ghost says something once, you ought to listen. Can you say amen? If the Holy Spirit says something twice, you really ought to listen. Listen, can you say amen? How about over here? If the Holy Spirit says something three times, you ought to pay attention to it, right? Well, the Holy Spirit wrote through the Apostle Paul in three different occasions, actually four. I'm going to give you three. And he talked about this hope that we have living on the inside of us. It was a mystery in the old covenant. Many in days gone by wanted to have what you and I have, and they never partook of it because Christ hadn't come yet. But you see, it's a mystery of the gospel. And as I said, because it's a mystery, this blessed hope that you have on the inside of you, the people of the world, they don't understand it. Let's go back to our text again and slow down just a moment and look at what the Bible says. In 1 John 3:2 again, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Everyone look at me and say, now I'm a child of God. Now notice this, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, as I said, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him as He is. And this is the hope of the gospel. You know, somebody said, now why did the Lord in the Garden of Eden set that angel over there? Actually, and more than one, they were cherubims. Cherubim is plural for cherub. And the Lord set more than one cherubim in the garden when He kicked man out of the garden so that it with flaming swords, so that he could not partake of the tree of life. How many of you recall that in the garden there was a tree of life as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and in disobedience to the Lord. And of course, that's why we're here. I was there the other day. I have raspberries at my house. And there's a few months ago. And boy, they are just that wonderful. I love wild raspberries. And so my wife and I, we were out there with cups gathering the raspberries. And of course, you have to fight the thorns, right? And I said, Adam, this is your fault. And it is. But why do you think the Lord set those cherubim with a flaming sword when He kicked man out of the garden, to keep him from the tree of life? Now, why would He want to do that? Because you see, if man would have partaken of the tree of life, you and I forever would have lived in this fallen, death-doomed body. That'd be a horrible state, wouldn't it? I said, that'd be a horrible state, wouldn't it? Yeah. Oh, but God has better things for us. And again, that's called the hope or our blessed hope. Say it loud, I have a blessed hope. So when the Bible says through John, when He shall appear, let's talk about that phrase. We use the term rapture. Many of you have heard of that term. Many may not have ever heard of that term. But even though that word rapture is not in the Bible, some will say, well, now I don't believe in the rapture. That word's not in the Bible. Well, we're talking about an event. And we're simply using that word as an adjective to describe that event. What event? The event of being caught up to meet the Lord in the air or being like Him. And so the body of Christ years ago coined the term rapture simply to describe what it means. And that word rapture actually comes from a Latin word, raptus, R-A-P-T-U-S. And that word raptus means to seize or to transport. Everyone say to seize or to transport. Okay? Then next week, we're going to go in more detail out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, where the Apostle Paul described this same event, this hope of glory when we're changed like the Lord, as being caught up to meet him in the air. And so that phrase, caught up, in the Greek word translated caught up is the Greek word harpazo. And harpazo means to remove or to take away by force. And so when you put these two words together, raptus and harpazo, what the Lord is to describe this event, when we will be changed and be glorified like our Lord, what he's saying to us is, the day is coming when the Lord will grab you and seize you and transport you and remove you and take you away by force. Now someone said, well, now why is it necessary for me to be seized and taken a hold of and taken by force? Well, it's very simple. The devil's not gonna want to see you go. And when that happens, every demon hordes of hell is going to try to lay claim to your body. Just like the devil contended with God when God buried Moses. The Bible says the devil contended with the Lord over the body of Moses because God didn't let him know where he buried him. And so the devil's going to contend. He's going to contend for all of our loved ones' bodies that are in the grave that's with the Lord. You see, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so all of our loved ones that were saved, that have been born again like we've talked about this morning, those that have gone before us, their body may be in the grave, but their spirit is with the Lord. They're not walking around like Casper the Friendly Ghost or flying around like Casper the Friendly Ghost. No, our loved ones have heads, hands, feet, nose, eyes, ears. In fact, that's what you hear the Lord's voice with, not with your physical ear, but your spiritual ear on the inside of you. And they're waiting one day to come back and pick up a glorified body, a body just like Jesus. And again, that's going to happen at the rapture of the church. That's going to happen when we're all caught up at the same time. And so Satan is going to try to oppose that. He's going to try to stop that from happening. He's going to try to stop you and I from going up and being changed. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll talk about it more next week, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, he's going to try to stop it. But I tell you today, oh, blessed be Almighty God, the devil is a defeated foe. And for every demon that will try to stop us from being translated, there are tens of thousands of angels that will take that devil by the throat, that will take Satan by the throat and say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Let him go. And when God speaks like a speeding bullet, we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And our loved ones are going to come out of the grave and be reunited with their spirit, and we also that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so by force, praise God, there's no devil that can stop it. By force in the anointing, there's no demon that can stop it. When the Lord comes to get us out of here, we're all going to be chained at the same time, and we're going up. Can you say amen? We're going up, praise God, hallelujah, forevermore. We're going up. Everyone say, we're going up. And so Paul said in Ephesians 3, talking about this, that this whole message I'm preaching about is a mystery. He said in Ephesians 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me for you, how that by revelation, notice carefully, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Everyone say mystery. Now, what is this mystery? He goes on to say, so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Now, notice this, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. For you to understand end times, you've got to understand these basic biblical principles that I'm talking about today before we even get into next week. You've got to understand that the truth of this hope of glory is part of the mystery contained and revealed to the Apostle Paul and the apostles and prophets of the church. He goes on to say in verse 6 that mystery is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. We go on down to verse 9. Paul said, I want to make all men see what is the fellowship. He used that word mystery again. Look at it carefully. What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God who created all things by Christ Jesus. Well, let's go on to Colossians. We find in the book of Colossians the same truth revealed. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said to the Colossae church, I am a minister according to the dispensation of God given to me to fulfill the word of God. Now, what is that, Paul, you're to fulfill? Even the mystery. Everyone say, even the mystery. Which was hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. That's why the Lord gave me this message to give you today. You need to have a revelation of this mystery. It's God's will not for you to walk in darkness, but to have your understanding enlightened so that you can understand what the Lord has prepared for you. Even the mystery which was hid from other generations. And then he says in verse 27, now look at it closely now. I'm going to slow down just a little bit. I said just a little bit, praise God. But now look at verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now here it is. Right here it is. Don't you miss it. Here it is. Here's the icing on the cake, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Why is he in you? He is your hope of glory. He is your hope of being changed. He is your hope of one day being translated and getting out of here and receiving a glorified body, to have a body like his body, to have a body that can eat and don't have to eat and gain weight, praise God, to have a body like his body that can walk through walls, to have a body like his body that can travel across the universe at the speed of thought, not the speed of light. The speed of light is slow. Why, the speed of light is only 186,000 feet per miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. That's awfully slow. But at the speed of thought, we can go across the universe from one planet to the other. We're going to be like him. We're not going to have blood keeping our body alive. He doesn't have blood in his body. His body is on the mercy seat right now in the Holy of Holies, where it's calling out your name and it's reminding the Father that it's going to be all right with you, Fred, and you, Sally, and you, Jennifer, and you, Alice. It's going to be all right. That blood is calling out your name and saying, I have washed them. I have cleansed them. They belong unto me. They are my children. That blood is calling out your name on the mercy seat. And one day we're going to have a glorified body like his. We won't need blood to keep us alive. We'll have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Will have a glorified flesh and bone spiritual body that will live forever. No pain, no sickness, no turmoil, no anxiety, no problems. And I tell you, that day is quickly approaching. All of the events of the world are culminating. The dominoes are about to fall over, and it's by the work of God. And so today we're not troubled. Today we're not in fear. Today we rejoice in our God that it's going to be all right, because we're looking up. We don't have our eyes on the devil and what he's doing. We have our eyes on Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and what he's doing. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Lift up your hands and give him praise in this house today. Lift up your hands and give him a shout of praise. Can I hear you give him a shout of praise? Mystery. Mystery. So the rapture of the church, this glorification, this catching away, whatever you want to call it, this changing, this metamorphosis, we've discovered was part of the mystery of the gospel. Think about this fact, saints of God. When our Lord went to the heart of the earth, and at 12 noon, when he hung on the cross, they nailed him at 9 in the morning, the exact time that the Passover lamb was bound to the altar. On that very day, over 250,000 lambs were bound to the altar in Jerusalem. At 12 noon, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He became sin for you. He became sin for me, who knew no sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. But not only that, for 3 hours he was separated from God until finally at 3 in the afternoon. 3 in the afternoon. Oh, he gave up the ghost the very moment that all the lambs had their throats slit. The very moment. And then he didn't stop there. You see, it wasn't enough for his physical death. He had to become separated from God. Our Lord died spiritually. Spiritual death is separation from God. That's the condition of the world find themselves in today. Separated from God. And he became sin. You can't explain it. You just have to accept what the Bible said. God turned his back on him because he took our place in judgment. All of the judgment that should have been yours was placed upon the Son of the living God, the perfect Lamb of God, slain for the foundation of the world. But he didn't stop there. The Bible says he went down in the heart of the earth. And the fulfillment of Psalm 22, where the Bible talks about demons napping upon him with their teeth. The devil thought he had won. Satan thought he had finally won. Satan thought he won the battle between the seed of God and his seed that was prophesied about in Genesis 3:15. He thought he had won. And down there in the bottomless of darkness, all the devils were rejoicing. But God the Father, when his justice was satisfied, for the claims of justice had to be satisfied. The Bible says, according to Isaiah chapter 53, that Jesus satisfied the claims of justice. And so God the Father looked upon him and said, "It is enough, it is enough. I'm satisfied, it is enough." And right there in hell, quickened our Lord in the pit of hell, brought life back into him. And that's why the Bible says he's the first begotten of the dead. He's the first person born again, just like you and I are born again. He's the first man born again. He's not only the first man born again, he is the beginner of a new race, a new creation, a new species that never existed before. He's the God-man, and we are the man-God. We have God in us, the greater one living on the inside of us, and we become like him. He's also called the last Adam and the second man, a beginner of a new creation. And so right there in the pit of hell, the Spirit of God brought life into our Lord again. And the Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over all of those devils. And all of a sudden the devils thought, "What's going on here? I don't understand this. I thought we defeated him." But Jesus didn't stop there. He defeated in hand-to-hand combat with all of those hordes of hell and went to Satan himself and defeated him and took from him the keys of death and hell and walked over to Abraham's bosom and unlocked that prison house that we find revelation of in Luke's gospel chapter 16 and began to preach to all of the Old Testament saints that were waiting for the Lord to come and said, "I am here. I am here. I am setting you free," and delivered them out of that place. But he didn't stop there. He rose from the dead, and he didn't stop there. He took his own blood and gathered every drop of it up, but he didn't stop there. He went into heavenly holy of holies and presented his blood on the mercy seat for you and I. And he doesn't stop there. From that day, he's been at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and praying for me and interceding for us and telling us it's going to be all right. But he doesn't stop there. He says, "One day I'm coming to take you home, and one day you're going to be just like me. One day you're going to be changed in a moment and the twinkling of an eye." But it doesn't stop there. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive our rewards. But it doesn't stop there. One day he's going to come back at the end of the tribulation period, and he's not going to come back again to be divided or hung on a cross or to be spit on or laughed at or mocked again. He's going to come back as a king. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you and I will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. The devil will be thrown in the bottomless pit of darkness for 1,000 years. And we will rule by his side for 1,000 years. I think we have a lot to give the Lord praise for. Can we give our Lord one more praise? Can we give him our love for a moment? Can you lift your hands and give him a shout? How about you folks over here? Can I hear you shout a shout of praise? Okay, good, good. How about you folks in the middle? Shout. Oh, yeah. yeah, they're really good. How about you folks over here, shout? Oh, glory to God. Good days lie ahead. Now, do you honestly think that if he did all that and he's getting ready to do the rest of it, do you honestly think for one moment that he doesn't care about that which you're facing in your life? Do you honestly think that he didn't mean what he said when he said he has the very hair of your head numbered? I tell you today, the Lord has you in his hands. I tell you today, it's not a chance that you're in this place. Every one of you, it's not a coincidence. The Spirit of God has drawn you to this hour for such a time as this. And great blessings are coming your way. And he wants you to lift up your head. He wants you in the middle of all that we face in this world to stay focused on what he's doing. Stay focused on the greater one that lives in you. Stay focused on Christ in you. He's the hope of glory. Oh, blessed be God. I have to tell this because I just feel impressed. Maybe it'll help somebody today. My father went home to be with the Lord on September 23rd, 95. And so the other night in the middle of the night, you know, some dreams, you have a dream, I call them pizza dreams. You know, you eat something that you shouldn't before you go to bed. Someone said, how do you know if God gives you a dream? If it's God, you know it. You know it. But I won't tell you the detail, but I saw my dad. We visited together. We sat around the table talking about the word. And then he stood up and I knew it was time to go. And I gave him a big hug and I said, so sure, it's good to see you, Dad. He said, so good to see you. I won't tell you the detail, but the Lord gave me a sermon in that visitation. I don't have detail, I don't have time to talk about it today. Maybe one day I will. But I tell you today, your loved ones on the other side is waiting just as eagerly as you are. They're also preparing. Heaven, even as I speak, is preparing for that greatest event that mankind has ever known. And that's what this church is all about. That's what this ministry is all about. I want us to put that chart, if we can, someone up on the overhead as I begin to wrap this up this morning. I want y'all to see this, because next week I'll go in more detail. But before we look at this chart, everyone again, put your hand right here on your belly and say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. Say it again. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Lift up your hand with your other hand, with one hand on your belly. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now say out loud, it's going to be all right. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. Oh, yes, the King is coming. The King is coming. So our time is almost gone, but I want to give you a preview. I hope all of you have a copy of this to take home and look at it. But let's just do a very quick overview of what we see here. We see on this chart that Jesus came the first time as a babe, came down from heaven, became the God-man. That's called in theological circles the great hypostatic union. Not 50% man, not 50% God, but 100% man and 100% God. Great mystery. He came and hung on that cross that you see on that chart. He paid the price that you and I could not pay. And today, he's ascended. When he rose from the dead, you see on your chart that he ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father, even now, where he's interceding for you and for me this day. We see that from the time that he ascended till we are all caught up. You see that arrow that says rapture of the church. Everybody say rapture of the church. Now again, what does that word rapture mean? You may not have heard of that term, but it just simply means being caught up. It's this experience of being like the Lord, caught up to meet him in the air. And so you'll look on that chart and you'll also see something very interesting, that Israel will be reestablished. That happened in 1948. I told Pastor John right before we came out here today that major rabbis in Israel today are calling for all Jews to come home, even as I speak, because they're expecting the Messiah to show up at any moment. They haven't received the real Messiah. They're looking for another. They'll be surprised because the Antichrist will oblige them. But notice on that chart, for 3.5 years, there'll be peace after we're gone. the world will think, well, those troublemakers, those intolerant people, those Christians are all gone. How many of you notice that the battle's not against any other faith but against Christians today? Anybody notice that? Hold up your hand if you notice that. Because Jesus said the world doesn't know you because it doesn't know me. But we'll go up. Everyone go like this. Say, we'll go up. Put your hands up again. Say, we'll go up. Now, what's going to happen when we go up? Say aloud, I'll meet the Lord in the air. And then we'll be with the Lord in heaven before the judgment seat of Christ for 7 years, while all of the judgments that'll take place upon this earth for 7 years. But then notice that other arrow, that large arrow, was says second coming of Christ. See, the rapture's not the second coming. That's an event where we are changed. That's our blessed hope. As I said, when we receive our glorified bodies and we'll be before the judgment seat of Christ for 7 years, the day's coming. 7 years later, when we'll come back with him. Look at that arrow on your chart. Say out loud, then we'll come back. Now, everybody do this. Say, one day we're going up, but then we'll come back. Now, you know, we'll go up in this flesh. We'll come back glorified. Can you say amen? Amen. Say out loud, I'll go up in this flesh, but I'll come back glorified. Let me say it again. When you come back, we're going to come back with him. And the Bible says on that hour, he's going to stand upon the Mount of Olives, right there on the Mount of Olives where he ascended. He's going to come back and stand, and that time every eye will see him. And as I said, he's going to come back to rule over this whole earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's when that great battle will take place of all those that survived the tribulation. They're going to try to oppose him, but he'll speak one word. And the Bible says in the Valley of Megiddo, which is 200 square miles, the blood will be up to the horse's bridle of those that have rejected Jesus and hate him and hate his name. And after 7 years of being preached to by angels, being preached to by 144,000 Jews, being preached to by the two witnesses in Israel, being preached and warned, don't take the mark of the beast, don't serve him, don't bow before him. They've rejected all of God's warnings and they hate him, and they're going to try to kill Jesus, but he's going to destroy all those wicked people. But you and I, again, we have a lot of good things to look forward to. And let me say it again, we're not looking down, we're looking up. Everyone say, I'm not looking down, but I'm looking up. And then if you'll notice as I conclude this morning that eventually after that 1,000 years, and we'll get into this a little bit more next week, there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth, and the Lord will burn up everything on this earth and recreate it. I look forward to that day when it all will be changed. Can you say amen? Amen. Now as I pray, put your hand right here again. Put your hand right here again. Say out loud, dear Lord Jesus, I receive this prayer by faith. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice over here to my left, up in the balcony, here in the middle, up in the balcony, over here to my right, up in the balcony. I pray, Father, that courage would rise up in their hearts and revelation knowledge would come, that they may understand, Lord, that better days lie ahead, and that they have that blessed hope on the inside of them, and that hope is going to keep them, and that hope is going to work in them, and that hope is going to finish what God started in them, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Pastor John.
Thank you, Phil, so much. Love you, buddy. Oh, man. Don't you wish he'd just get a little bit excited? Well, that's a great foundation for what we're going to do next week. And he's going to go into that chart and really help you understand the steps that are going to happen. And these are things that are happening even on the earth right now. And man, it's just like watching the news is reading the Bible. It's remarkable. So we're going to take some time. Next week, we'll get into this in more depth. But before we go any further, in a moment, we'll worship God with our giving. But if you could remain seated, such an important time in our service when we give people an opportunity to give their life to the one who gave his life for them. Would you bow your heads with me today with heads bowed and every eye closed? If you're here and you'd say to me, you know, I don't know what would happen to me if today I drew my final breath and slipped into an eternity. I don't know where I'd spend it. Please understand this. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Jesus paid an awesome price and paid the burden and the debt and the judgment that was due me and due you. There is no salvation in any church, including this one, There is no salvation in the fact that you are a church member or were baptized as a baby or confirmed or went to communion or confession or any sacrament of any church. And that includes this one. There is no pastor. There is no priest. There isn't a pope. There isn't a religious leader that can make you right with God. Only by receiving Jesus, opening your life and receiving him into your heart, can you receive the free gift of eternal life. He turns no one away. And when you invite him into your life, you step into that world of that blessed hope, and he makes you brand new, and your sin is washed away. And then you can go on serving him, and he can bring you into a life you never dreamed possible. Not a life of religiosity and nonsense, but an everyday walk with God that is so real and incredible in everyday life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, that's me. I'm not sure what would happen to me if I died today. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and I want to make him the Lord of my life. Would you please include me in that prayer, Pastor John? I will. And I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church, in fact, will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to receive Christ as the Lord of your life today, we'll pray for you right where you're at. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you simply raise your hand right now so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There are hands everywhere. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Thank you. You can see I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you. You say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand yet, but please include me with those that have. As every head is bowed, every eyes closed, just lift your hand high so I can see it. One last moment, and then we're going to pray. Thank you. Hey, listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. At the end of the service, Pastor Steve will give you some simple instructions if you prayed with me today for some next steps for you that are so important to learn to live the new life you're about to receive. If you lifted your hand, or should have, you desire to receive Jesus, pray this out loud, and we'll all pray it out loud and together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross to bear my sin debt. I open my heart to you, and I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.